begin each hour of our live coverage with this music, producer Dan Olson is going to have to tell me the name of it at some point and translate some of the language. Minnesota Public Radio's live coverage of President Mikhail Gorbachev's visit to the Twin Cities is made possible by the international public relations consulting firm of Padilla Spear Beardsley. It is 2 minutes past 12, past 4 o'clock, and the name of the piece is From Out of the Forest. From Out of the Forest, and it is performed by the Soviet Army Chorus and Band. We should listen to a little bit more of that. Perhaps we'll have an opportunity before our broadcast ends today. The revised Gorbachev itinerary has just come across our wire, and it looks like this. At about 4:15, the presidential motorcade will leave the governor's mansion on Summit Avenue, the motorcade traveling east down Summit Avenue past the St. Paul Cathedral, to the Capitol area. It'll be traveling slowly so that people can get glimpses of President Gorbachev, and I would suspect, and I would be surprised if the Gorbachev party did not emerge from the motorcade once in a while so that Gorbachev can go out and visit with some of the people who've come to see him. They will then travel down Interstate 94 to downtown Minneapolis, arriving, I guess a little after 5:15 or thereabouts. And then at about 5:45, he'll be meeting at the Radisson with regional, state, and agricultural leaders. And then at 7 o'clock, they'll be going to the Control Data Headquarters in Bloomington off Interstate 494 en route to the airport. And then they'll be leaving for the airport just before 8 o'clock for takeoff to San Francisco. That's the latest schedule as we have it. Of course, the times are approximate, and it's subject to change, I suppose, at that. The main thing that's missing in this revised schedule, of course, is the visit to the Brand Farm in Farmington. That canceled about an hour ago, as far as we can tell. One of the big, the only major item left on the president's agenda is the meeting with business leaders at the Radisson. That's where Lauren Amoto is standing by now. Lauren, what's going on?
Well, Bob, right now the wind's picking up, hard as that may be to believe, and we're kind of getting a taste of what Minnesota early winter weather is like instead of typical June weather. I don't know if you can hear the roaring that's going on out here on the street, but there are a bunch of long blue banners. They look like they're made of linen banners across the street from me at the Radisson, to kind of some bunting to welcome the president. They're doing their best to rip themselves off their runners and take themselves down 7th Street toward the Metrodome here. But as of right now, they're just making a whole lot of noise and kind of hanging on.
Well, Lauren, the temperature, I don't know what you're complaining about. It's up to 52 degrees.
Well, I don't know what I'm complaining about either, Bob.
What I would like to know, though, is if any sign of business leaders has shown up, or if you know of anything that might be happening during that meeting.
Well, no sign of the business leaders as yet, Bob, although we're getting a little more detail about what might go on, what might transpire in the meeting and after the meeting. For one thing, there is a group of agricultural leaders which is going to be participating in the meeting, and which has gotten together and issued a joint statement calling on the United States to grant that most favored nation status, trading status, to the Soviet Union. They see that as being beneficial for a number of reasons, especially to the agriculture community in this country and in the Soviet Union, and it is led by former Agriculture Secretary John Block, who is going to be here and is going to be in the meeting. And he is also going to be presenting that statement, he hopes, to President Gorbachev if there's any opportunity that is afforded him during that 5 o'clock meeting at the Radisson Hotel. He's joined by another four former agriculture secretaries, Freeman, Butz, Berglund, and Ling, and also a veritable laundry list of farm groups, farmers' organizations, agriculture organizations from all around the country.
Well, I'm sure Gorbachev would be just delighted at that, because that's exactly what he wants, his most favored nation trade
status. Well, exactly. And what we did was we had a little conversation earlier before coming over here with Minnesota Agriculture Commissioner Jim Nichols about this issue, and he sees it as being kind of a strategy move on Gorbachev's part as well. And here's what Commissioner Nichols had to say about the issue of United States-Soviet trade in the agriculture sector.
We have access to the Soviet market now. What is more important is that we gain most favored nation status, because then he could buy on credit. If he were to gain most favored nation status, then you'd see markets open up rapidly, huge markets. He has a critical shortage of food, especially quality foods, but he needs dairy products. He needs pork, chicken, beef, turkey. It's going to take him too long to buy the grain, to feed it to the animals, to bring those products to market. He might not be president enough years to make that happen. He needs most favored nation status. If we get that, then we're going to see markets open up.
And is that really the kind of message that you're hoping to put across here today?
That's been my goal for all the years I've had this job, and I think that's going to be one of the things that's going to be discussed heavily at the 5 o'clock meeting. And I think what he's going to say to those business leaders is, you know, you people, you're the chief executive officers of the biggest companies in the United States, from Chrysler to Ford to GM to Cargill, you name it. I need to buy your products. We need to buy your products, but we need some things to do that. First, we need access to credit through most favored nation status. Second, we need access to some of your markets, especially our fertilizer markets, so that we can gain currency to buy from you. And third, help me to gain this from Washington. I think he's trying to start a little firestorm out here in the Midwest to get Washington to grant them most favored nation status. I think it's a brilliant agenda on the part of Gorbachev, and he controlled that meeting completely at 5 o'clock.
That's State Agriculture Commissioner Jim Nichols, and I guess, as you suggest, he thinks maybe Gorbachev might be playing a little bit of a strategy game here with all of this.
Well, I'm sure he is, Lauren, and we will be checking back with you in a little bit.
One other thing, I can mention it, Bob, we should probably point out that Commissioner Nichols is not part of that meeting of business and agriculture leaders at the Radisson. He is going to be, however, heading a little briefing afterwards for the press. I asked him how he felt about not being included. He said he didn't mind. He thought that probably the business of state government was to deal with issues down on the farm, and he does not think that any political considerations entered into that decision.
Mm-hmm. Say, Lauren, one other thing I'd like to just throw at you. Information I have on the wire here suggests that the meeting now is going to be closed to the news media. What have you heard anything further on that?
Well, nothing on the street here, Bob, although we are literally on the street. We'll have to get to someplace warm and dry and maybe check that out for you.
All right. Well, because the latest word we had was that it was going to be open, and it's very possible that the information that I have here is incorrect.
Well, we'll get back to you.
Okay, thanks, Lauren. We'll check back with you in just a little bit. Lauren Amoto, who is broadcasting live from the Radisson Plaza Hotel, where the meeting with business leaders should begin at around 5:45, about an hour and a half from now. Minnesota Public Radio has preempted its regularly scheduled programming all day today so that we can bring you live coverage of the historic Gorbachev trip to Minnesota. We will stay with the coverage until Gorbachev leaves, which we expect to be at around 8 o'clock this evening. We have a summary of what has happened so far during President Gorbachev's trip to Minnesota, and bring you up to date on that. Here is Kathy Werzer.
The University of Minnesota Concert Ensemble greeted Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev and his wife Raisa at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport around 1:38 this afternoon. Minnesota Public Radio's Mike Mulcahy and Bruce McDonald provided some of the color of the arrival.
Now a four-man military squad is moving into place with a red carpet. And in front of us is...
All right, we're going to have to break away from this Kathy Werzer report. We have something live via the pool feed. Let's go to it right now.
Hiroshima.
This is Governor Perpich.
The peaceful use of science. To that end, he founded the great science publishing house of Pergamon Press, which annually distributes more than 500 journals and hundreds of books that are edited by and receive contributions from leading scientists and engineers at the University of Minnesota and from the post-secondary scientific and engineering community. Fluent in 9 languages, Mr. Maxwell owns communication enterprises in every part of the world, including the newly emerging democracies in Eastern Europe. Mr. Maxwell's most recent venture is the European, Europe's first national newspaper. Mr. Maxwell's communication companies bring the people of the world closer together, while Mr. Maxwell's generous support of research improves the lives of people around the globe. Today, in honor of President Gorbachev, Mr. Maxwell, through his great generosity, will unite scientists from the United States, Europe, and the Soviet Union in a great endeavor. Mr. Maxwell.
Mr. President. Madam President. Mr. Governor, Secretary of State. I'm not going to make a long speech here. You know the great services that President Gorbachev has rendered to Europe and the world, to the ending of the Cold War, and the many services he yet has to render.
This is publisher Robert Maxwell at the Governor's Mansion live.
President Bush, we congratulate you on your massive achievements. wish you great success in the future. Governor Perpich has been after me for years that we should set up here a global institute of technology. He finally landed me, and I am the poorer for it in terms of money. But in terms of importance, and why do I do it? Essentially, first of all, Minnesota is the headquarters of Maxwell Communications in the United States. Secondly, I know of no better way to show that we in Europe are grateful to President Gorbachev as well as to President Bush for ending the Cold War, because what happened at Yalta was not particularly to our liking. As you know, in a poll taken in the European, our readers voted for President Gorbachev to become President of Europe if they had to vote for a President of Europe. As you know, he's no less popular in the United States or in Canada. As he himself admits, he has some local problems at home, but I am convinced that they are none that he cannot cope with. The Soviet people should bear in mind that they have made gigantic steps. They've got problems at home, but none that they cannot solve in brotherhood and in patience. We in Europe want to help. I know you Americans will do the same. The Institute of Science and Technology in this town, which has been set up at a cost of more than $100 million, and I thank you for your commitment to support it, will cope with problems that matter to humanity, like the problems of the environment and warming, the problems of communications and media, the problems of health, food, and so on. For all these reasons, we are most grateful, and I hope that you, President Gorbachev, will say in response to press inquiries as to how you feel about this institute, that you will be willing to say a few words to us, President Gorbachev.
Publisher Robert Maxwell, live at the governor's residence in St. Paul, President Gorbachev now stepping to the podium.
Я так вижу, что эта идея занимала много лет. Губернатора штата Руди Перпич.
As I see, this particular idea has been on the mind of the governor of the state, Mr. Перпич, for many years now.
Я вижу, наконец, эту идею разделили представители делового мира.
And I see finally that this idea has been shared by representatives of the business community.
По крайней мере, той части бизнеса, который понимает, что перед всеми нами, живущим сегодня на этой земле, стало много общих проблем, и мы должны их сообща решать, объединяя усилия.
It is shared at least by those businessmen who understand and realize very well that there are many common problems the world over, problems that we must grapple with together by joining our efforts.
Я приветствую эту идею, которой подключился и господин Роберт Максвелл, который я знаю давно и который ценю за активную позицию.
And I do welcome this idea, which has also now involved Mr. Maxwell, someone I know very well for a long time.
Рядом с ним я вижу господина Андреаса.
Standing next to him, I see Mr. Andreas.
Много лет меня связывает с ним сотрудничество и обмены.
I've been linked to him by bonds of cooperation and friendship for many years now too.
Это тот человек, который в трудных условиях, скажем так, политических, все же доказывал вместе с своими сторонниками, коллегами, другими представителями делового мира Америки необходимость развития экономических связей между нашими великими народами и странами.
He is precisely the kind of man who has been doing his best together with some of his colleagues and like thinkers to prove the need for establishing and developing better economic relations and links with the Soviet Union.
Итак, я вижу это еще один элемент того обновляющегося мира и того сотрудничества, нового сотрудничества, которое складывается между нашими странами, Европой и между людьми.
So I see this as yet another element of common cooperation which seems to be emerging and developing between our countries, between many countries of the world, and on the human level too.
Мы знаем свои различия, мы их оставляем каждому в личное пользование.
We know our differences that divide us, but let those differences be with those people who have them.
И объединяемся для того, чтобы решать.
But we join our efforts.
Те проблемы, которые нас всех волнуют.
To address and come to grips with the problems that are of concern to all of us.
Желаю успеха этому предприятию.
I wish success to your enterprise.
President Gorbachev shaking hands there with Governor Perpich and with some of the other people at the governor's residence. This is live coverage of President Gorbachev's trip to Minneapolis-St. Paul. It's our understanding that from here he will simply be shaking a few hands on the lawn at the governor's residence. Then the motorcade will begin moving down Summit Avenue with the eventual goal of getting to downtown Minneapolis for the meeting with business leaders. Shall we listen in just for a second, see if they're picking up anything on this microphone? Nothing terribly dynamic. It sounds to me like President Gorbachev is talking to publisher Robert Maxwell. Patty Dale, how is it, do you think, that Gorbachev knows Robert Maxwell?
Robert Maxwell is something of a maverick in international publishing and media. Czech by birth, a long-time member and supporter of the British Labour Party. And this affiliation with the Labour Party, plus his many media operations, presumably got him access to the Soviet Union. Now Maxwell Publishing and Pergamon Press published many Soviet journals in translation in the West. Perhaps the most famous Western businessman with strong Soviet connections is the American Armand Hammer.
Oh, yes.
I mention this simply to indicate that Maxwell is not alone amongst powerful Western capitalists with strong connections to the Soviet Union. So it's his publishing plus his Labour Party affiliation.
Gorbachev Party appearing to come out of the governor's residence now. On Summit Avenue. Let's go across the street to the porch where Catherine Winter is standing by. What are you seeing, Catherine?
There is an enormous crowd of people here. Gorbachev is just emerging from the president or from the governor's mansion. People have filled Summit Avenue here. There are hundreds of people packing the lawns. They're now waving their arms and cheering. Large crowd of people on the lawn at the governor's mansion. Many of them came from the mansion next door where they were having lunch. Karen Boros is down in the crowd. I can see her red hooded parka from here. Karen, what can you see from there?
Not much more than you can, but these people have waited enthusiastically, I can say. They were applauding during the speeches in the backyard, which they could hear here, but they couldn't see.
Those were broadcast on. There are very large speakers out in front of the governor's mansion. So.
And Gary keeps talking about the lack of a crowd.
This is a huge crowd. We have to differ.
Yes.
Yes, well, I think Gary in his last report said the crowd was beginning to pick up down there around the Capitol, too.
It has here as well. Mm-hmm. People have come up on bicycles. There are some people shivering here in shorts.
How did they get up there? I thought they had that whole area blocked off.
It was cordoned off. You're right, Bob.
The barricades went down at one section, and people sort of leaked in and have sort of infiltrated, and the...
they've been coming across from behind, too, Karen. I don't know if you've been able to see that over
Let's go to Stephen Smith, if we can, who's on the cellular phone right next to Gorbachev. Stephen?
That's right, Bob. I'm inside the gates of the governor's mansion. Gorbachev and his party are now making a circle around to greet the state officials, the congressional delegation, and other dignitaries who lunch next door at the American Association of University Women College Club. He just shook hands with, there's Marlene Johnson, the lieutenant governor. There's Martin Szabo, the congressman, Congressman Oberstar. He's making his way down now to Senator Rudy Boschwitz and Boschwitz's wife and son. There are some members of the Senate and the House of Minnesota. Basically, we thought that Gorbachev was going to be addressing them and giving a brief speech, but apparently the the Soviet chief of protocol and security said he didn't want the Soviet president walking along the sidewalk and going in next door for protocol and security reasons.
Yes, well, he gave a little speech inside the governor's mansion with Robert Maxwell and the governor talking about the institute they've set up, something like that.
Right, the Environmental Research Institute.
That's it, yes, right.
Well, Gorbachev is now meeting with Mike McGrath, who is, as you know, the
state treasurer.
So the state treasurer, getting a chance to shake the hand of the president of the Soviet Union. And he's moving along with saying hi to other members of the list of dignitaries here in Minnesota as a very stiff breeze flaps the American and Minnesota flag up above. Across the street, of course, is the press contingent, and you can hear some people chanting. There was a big cheer when Gorbachev came out, and there is still a little bit of protesting going on within earshot as well, Robert.
All right. Well, let's get the perspective from across the street there from the porch. Karen Boros and Catherine Winter.
Stephen mentioned the Minnesota and United States flags. Next to that is on another flagpole, the flag of the Soviet Union. As Stephen's right, there's still a pretty large contingent of demonstrators here with the flags of some of the Baltic regions of the Soviet Union chanting out front. Right in front of the governor's mansion and across the street, a very large contingent of press. Most of them have dried off by now. It stopped raining a while ago, but it's still pretty cold and windy here. Now the crowd is catching a glimpse of Gorbachev, and you can hear them cheering as he comes down the sidewalk. You can hear the chants of Gorby, Gorby.
Yes, there they are. I think I saw him just shake the hand of Philip Brunel.
Huh. Karen, what can you see up there?
Well, I can see a crowd. Let me ask this woman here. You've been waiting here. Are you happy with what you're seeing?
Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm so excited to be here. I can hardly sit still or stand still. It's really exciting.
What time did you get here?
We got here about 45 minutes ago, I think. We forgot it was cold outside. We're so excited.
Okay, I think that's a pretty accurate sample there of what we've got. As I started to say earlier, when the barriers went down at one end of the street here and people infiltrated the area, I think the police just decided to leave them where they are. We've got state troopers lined up almost shoulder to shoulder in front of us in places here. So while we are across the street, we are definitely, I think, going to stay across the street. It's going to be interesting to see if Gorbachev comes out and tries to approach the crowd here.
It would be difficult. There's a barrage of press, and then there are all the cars of the motorcade lined up on the street. So
difficult, but not impossible.
If he wants to, he can do it.
You just a straight shot out the gate, and I think walk across the street and make all these folks happy.
All right.
There is still a large crowd on the lawn of the governor's mansion in front. Many people had lunch in the building next door, as you mentioned, Bob, and they all a few minutes before we came on came over to the governor's mansion and formed this big crowd on the lawn. Now Gorbachev moving down through the crowd and onto the street. There's Governor Perpich.
Gorbachev just put on a coat and hat, so while he may not have come fully prepared for the Minnesota weather, somehow or another his coat and hat caught up with him.
Yes, they materialized somehow.
Absolutely. Maybe we'll be able to check in with our fellows on the cellular telephones, Chris Roberts, who is somewhere along Summit Avenue, I believe, and Gary Eichten, who's up at the state capitol. We'll try to check in with them in a little bit. If they have an opportunity to get a hold of us, that'll be just fine. Seems to me that from what I can see of this pool video feed, the president of the Soviet Union is just shaking the hands of almost everybody he comes in contact with out there.
It's a little bit difficult to see from here. He's moving his way through the crowd.
Can you see if he's moving toward the vehicles at all?
Toward the motion of everybody is toward the gate here.
Okay.
And the crowd here, you can hear them catching glimpses of him as he comes down through this crowd of people. But, of course, everyone wants to shake his hand, wants to be able to say they shook Gorbachev's hand. And so the movement is a little slow through the crowd here.
Maybe we can pick up a little bit of that pool audio feed as he moves through. Let's listen.
Here he comes.
The crowd that I'm with right now is waving and, hoping that he will be attracted over here.
Here he is in his coat and hat coming down the steps through the gate out to his motorcade.
Let's check in with Chris Roberts briefly by cellular phone. Where are you, Chris?
Very briefly, Bob. I am at Chatsworth and Summit, just a few 100 feet away from the governor's mansion. People here, you got to hand a little credit over the crowd here. They've been waiting a long time, and incidentally, as I look down towards the cathedral down Summit, Catherine was saying how big the crowd is. It is truly a very large crowd, two or three deep as far as the eye can see down Summit. and people are straining their necks right now trying to get a look at the president and hoping when he comes by that he's be willing to work off some of the calories that he accumulated from that breaded walleye that he was
Well, yes, and the veal and all the rest of it. Let's go back to the porch.
If we can, yes, if we can break in momentarily, Gorbachev has crossed the street, worked his way into the crowd. People are practically bodily flinging themselves down to where he is just in front of us, in front of this yard, to see him. Karen, I don't know if you can even hear me at this point.
I can hear you.
What
and
do
I can,
you see?
I see Gorbachev with a hat on, surrounded by people. And I am surrounded in part here by a pretty happy crowd. He's now moving down Summit Avenue, as is the crowd.
Surrounded by Secret Service people and police and press with boom microphones.
Yes,
people
are
right to catch up
with him. Governor Perpich is with him. And they're walking right along the sidewalk here on Summit Avenue.
On the other side, we should mention, on the side where the crowd is, not the side that the police have cordoned off.
On the side where the crowd is he's headed down the street at the other end of Summit Avenue, at the eastern end of this event. The barricades have not broken, and I also say we're losing our crowd here.
We may, in fact, lose audio at this point because we have people racing across the lawn where our cords are strung. So if you suddenly lose us, that will be the reason why. There's just nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, no, the crowd is definitely headed, staying with Gorbachev.
As he moves down Summit Avenue and out of our line of
and
sight.
And moving into a range of Chris Roberts.
Right.
Let's pick him
up. Yeah, I can
now.
See him right now. Actually, he seems really in good spirits. He's got a lot of energy in his gait, and people are just rushing across the lawn to get a glimpse of him. Everybody is raising their hand, waving hello, and he seems to be responding. In fact, I think he's going into the crowd right now to shake some hands, which is what they were waiting for.
Now, was he in the vehicle, or is he still walking?
No, he's walking.
Walking. I wonder if
he's walking around. Everybody's waving at him, and it's amazing. It's a really, the level of excitement here has just escalated tremendously.
All right, very good. Chris Roberts on the cellular telephone. As President Gorbachev continues wending his way down Summit Avenue, so far on foot. We expect that at some point he will get into the motor vehicle and continue the trip down Summit around John Ireland Boulevard up to the Capitol area. Maybe we'll be able to have a chance to visit with Gary Eichten. If he can hear us and call in, let us know what's going on up at the Capitol.
Bob
Gary,
Potter?
Yes, Catherine?
This is
Karen.
Actually, this is Karen. The motorcade is moving along with President Gorbachev, who is still on foot. So whenever he decides it's time to ride, he'll be able to jump right aboard.
Jump
here.
Right aboard. Okay. Well, let's check in with Gary. Let's see how the crowd is doing down at that end of the motorcade, Gary.
Bob, these people are going to be very, very happy when President Gorbachev and the motorcade arrive. They've been waiting a long time. They've been asking a lot. What do you hear? What do you hear? Have they left the mansion? Have they left the mansion? And I think he's going to receive an equally enthusiastic reception here. Still a lot of protesters, a lot of signs. The crowd is much deeper than it was earlier. Still not the throngs that you might have expected, but there are a lot of people up here, and they're going to be very excited to see President Gorbachev.
Would you say it's a couple, three deep on the sidewalk lining the area now?
Probably more so. Certainly in some spots it's 10, 15 deep, and then in other places 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's picked up a lot over what it was before.
Definitely, increase in the crowd size there. 4:30 is the time. Our live coverage of President Gorbachev's trip to Minnesota is on the air today. We've preempted our regularly scheduled programming so that we can bring you this, and we will stay with it through the departure of the Gorbachev aircraft at around 8 o'clock this evening is the expected time. Our live coverage of the trip is made possible by the international public relations consulting firm of Padilla Spear Beardsley. From what I can see on the pool video at this point, President Gorbachev's motorcade is moving slowly down Summit Avenue, throngs of people around it. I can't tell for sure if Gorbachev is in the vehicle now or if he is still walking. It's a little bit tough to tell. But there certainly are a lot of people there. A lot of interest and a lot of activity. Commentators Patty Dale and Evelyn David Heiser are with us. Looks like a pretty good crowd out there, doesn't it?
Sure does.
I I guess maybe we were a little bit pessimistic in our in our response, in our prediction of how enthusiastic the Minnesota crowd was going to be over Gorbachev, weren't we?
Indeed. Minnesota seems to have turned out to welcome the Gorbachevs.
Just took a little bit longer than we thought, and maybe people stayed in because of the weather until got closer to time to actually have a chance to see him. Moving down Summit Avenue, and then on towards Interstate 94, down the Interstate 94 corridor, where, of course, Gorbachev will see those new or those Highway Department signs that ordinarily tell you that right lane closed or left lane closed. These flash something to the effect of welcome Gorbachev in English and then the appropriate in Russian.
Dobro pozdravljavat Gorbachev.
Which means what?
Welcome Gorbachev.
Well, I got that right. How about that? Right. All right. Very interesting as our coverage continues. We will, of course, be broadcasting from the Radisson if the meeting with the business leaders is open to the public. There is some question about that. The earlier indication is that it will be open. We have one note, one line on a piece of wire copy which says it is closed, but I'm not sure which it is going to be. Let's go to Chris Roberts on the cellular telephone along Summit Avenue. Chris, what do you see? Chris Roberts, are you there? I certainly hear crowd sounds. He may not hear us, but we can hear plenty of crowd sounds from Summit Avenue.
Bob,
yes,
I think
Chris.
I just heard you. He's in his car right now, making his way very slowly down Summit Avenue. I hope you can still hear me.
Oh, yes.
Giving to folks. Now I'm starting to jog, so if I sound a little breathless, trying to keep up with the folks.
Well, you just have to get your exercise there, Chris.
Pardon?
I'm saying you're just getting your exercise today.
Absolutely, I think I need it. This motorcade has picked up a little bit. Maybe they're trying to make up for some time that they've lost. They're a little bit behind schedule, but making its way eastward on Summit, this motorcade, towards the Cathedral and then ultimately the Capitol. And people are waving from both sides. A lot of younger folks, younger than me, I might say, are trying to keep up with the motorcade. Other folks are just waving to the president as he goes by.
All right, let's go up to Gary Eichten and see if the anticipation of the crowd is beginning to increase a little bit. Gary?
Well, I think word is starting to spread a little bit, Bob. People are eager to put the... where we stand here, as you look up John Ireland, up on the steps of the Capitol right at the moment, as you look up John Ireland Boulevard, you see the cathedral, and there's a little, as you well know, Bob, there's a little turn. The road goes past the cathedral and comes straight toward the Capitol. And I suspect when the first signs of cars, the real motorcade, come down that road, things will perk up substantially. We saw a couple of police cars come by with their lights on, and people started running toward the toward the street with their signs, so
mm-hmm.
It's going to pick up a lot.
Well, I see an aerial
view. Here we go.
I see an aerial view there, Gary, and it looks to me like they are about even with the William Mitchell College of Law at this point. At least part of the motorcade appears to be at the William Mitchell College of Law, so they have a little ways to go yet before they get to get down to cross Dale and then
uh-huh.
down in that area.
We have the first of our advance police cars coming down the street here with the lights on, and all eyes are riveted.
I'm sure they are. Indeed. President Gorbachev...
helicopters overhead, clearing the area, of course.
Yeah, you hear those. Now, what kind of crowd control does there appear to be there? Is it fairly intense or not?
Well, they're pretty low key, really. I mean, they have the rope across on both sides of the streets, and there are a lot of transportation department workers
uh-huh.
around, but no signs of any real heavy duty security here.
Okay.
I'm sure that if things get out of control, you'd see a lot of people materialize fairly quickly. We've got a couple of buses coming down the road. You've been watching the motorcade right along. Any idea who's in the buses? Are these pretty horses?
I don't know, Gary, but let's check in with Stephen Smith, who's in the motorcade. Stephen? Stephen Smith, are you there in the motorcade?
I am indeed, Bob Potter.
All right. Gary was asking about a couple of buses that appear to be coming down the road there. Do you have any idea what's in those buses?
Well, I'm too far back to be able to tell you that.
Too far back. All right.
I was in the crush as Gorbachev walked out of the governor's office, the governor's mansion, rather, and across the street and then kitty corner from there. He made a brief statement to some people at the corner of what I think was Summit and Chatsworth. Through an interpreter, he said that he thanked Minnesotans for their feelings, that people of the Soviet Union have just as much respect for American citizens as American citizens do, and then he wished happiness and well-being to the people of Minnesota and the state. It was quite a crush, Robert. I got as much of it as I could, but at times, I think the KGB was literally lifting me off my feet and moving me along.
We understand, folks, and Gary Acton, that those buses are full of police officers.
I think so. I've seen, if you're talking about the MTC buses, they've
yes.
been deploying the police officers at different spots along the route to form a line between the people along the street and Gorbachev. Of course, Gorbachev just pushes right through. Mm-hmm. And when he gets close to a crowd, he starts to shake hands and now and then makes a speech. So even though the police are there to form a human line, he doesn't necessarily need to respect it.
Well, it would be interesting sometime to hear someone talk who understands the security measures that are taken around the President of the United States versus those taken around the President of the Soviet Union. It's clear that it seems clear, at least, that the precautions taken around a U.S. president are much more strict than those around Gorbachev at this point.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. The point is that the security really flows from the man who's being protected. I mean, it's Gorbachev's style, his personal style, to do this.
Yeah.
And far be it from the KGB to tell him not to, you know. And I think that if Bush or Reagan or any other president really wanted to act this way, he would. I can tell you that it is sort of strange for us in the press to go through security sweeps and to have our equipment taken apart and put back together and be pushed and shoved, and then have this fellow just sort of walk up to a crowd of people across from a fence and start talking to them. So it does sort of make it seem a little bit silly after a while.
Stephen Smith, who is reporting by cellular telephone from the Gorbachev motorcade as it works its way down Summit Avenue and across eventually to the to John Ireland Boulevard, around the St. Paul Cathedral, the State Capitol Complex area. And then I think once it actually gets on to Interstate 94, the pace will probably pick up quite a bit, because I think there will not be the opportunity to stop and visit with people along the freeway. They'll simply move rather quickly on down towards downtown Minneapolis and the scheduled meeting with the business leaders a little bit later on this afternoon. The visit to the farm has been canceled. If you are just tuning in, the visit to the Brand Farm in Farmington was canceled, apparently because the Soviet team is simply too bushed to do it, too tired out. The trip to Washington and the summit activities taking something of a toll on the Soviet delegation, and they are not going to go through with the trip to the farm. Instead, I had a chance to talk with the son of John Brand, or I think it's John Brand is the fellow I talked to, and he said that the family, of course, very disappointed about that, but they may have the opportunity of being transported up to Twin Cities International Airport to at least see the Gorbachev party off and possibly have a chance to meet with the Gorbachev delegation as well. Well, let's see what's going on up the Capitol steps. Gary Acton, what's the latest there?
Well, Bob, those buses are, in fact, deploying their officers, getting in position and getting all set to go. And I suspect, you know, you asked me just a few minutes ago whether or not about the security. I suspect we're going to see that security arrangement tightened up substantially here in just the next couple of minutes. Still no sign, though, up as we look up toward the cathedral of the motorcade, although that should be coming along soon now, I would think. He's back in the car, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I think what we'll do at this point, at about 19 minutes before the hour, it looks like it'll be just a few minutes before the Gorbachev entourage gets around to the Capitol area. We started a little while ago playing a recap of events to date. report put together by Kathy Werzer. We had to interrupt that because of the statements at the governor's mansion. I'd like to go back and pick up that recap so that those of you who have not heard all of this continuous coverage since 1 o'clock this afternoon have a sense for what has gone on. Let's listen to Kathy's report.
The University of Minnesota Concert Ensemble greeted Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev and his wife Raisa at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport around 1:38 this afternoon. Minnesota Public Radio's Mike Mulcahy and Bruce McDonald provided some of the color of the arrival.
Now a four-man military squad is moving into place with a red carpet. And in front of us is the Soviet
There's
seal.
There's Mr. and Mrs. Gorbachev off the plane at the top of the stairway. Some applause here. Senator Boschwitz is behind them. He's waving. About halfway down the steps now. Mr. Gorbachev is in a dark suit. Mrs. Gorbachev is wearing kind of a purple outfit. Gorbachev just adjusted his lapels a little bit. Now they're moving the red carpet down and the dignitaries have approached. The band is playing.
The Gorbachevs were greeted by dignitaries, including Governor Rudy Perpich and former Vice President Walter Mondale. The Soviet leader then stopped for a few moments on the airport tarmac to shake hands with the small crowd. The couple then left in their motorcade that traveled along 35W onto Interstate 94 and then on to Summit Avenue in St. Paul for a trip to the governor's mansion for lunch. Reporter Chris Roberts was along the route that included some protest groups.
There's a lot of groups here. On one end of the governor's mansion, there is a group of Muslim students from the University of Minnesota. Across the street from them, there are people representing the Baltic states. But across the street from me right now, the Laotian and Cambodian group that Gary was referring to have made it all the way up here. They walked from the Capitol all the way up there.
One of the protesters near the governor's mansion was George Jace, a member of a Latvian group that's upset over Gorbachev's treatment of the Baltic republics in the Soviet Union.
That's an issue that everybody's skirting. Bush skirted it, apparently, at Camp David also, along with the German Unified Nation. I mean, let's talk about it. Let's get it out. We've got to have that issue aired. We've got to get it resolved.
As the Gorbachev limousine and the rest of his motorcade swung on to Summit Avenue, Gorbachev jumped out of his Soviet-made limousine and began shaking hands. One of those nearby the Soviet leader when he moved into the crowd was Dane Richter of Minneapolis.
All of a sudden, I look around, and there was a large group of protesters on the other side of the street, and they had been chanting for most of the morning. And I looked around, and there was Gorbachev, and he went directly up to the protesters, the group, and he started shaking hands with them. And then he walked down Summit up for a little while, and on the side of the street I was standing, he walked over to the side I was standing on, and he waved to the crowd from there, and he continued on his way.
Gorbachev walked the remaining two blocks to the Minnesota governor's mansion on Summit Avenue for lunch with the governor and selected guests. He was greeted by a group of bell ringers and our Catherine Winter, who was observing the scene from across the street.
It's not a tidy line of people. It's a thick cluster of people going through the gate at the governor's mansion, which has been done up with festoons of greenery, and there is some red carpet, which you can't see anymore because there's all kinds of people on it.
It's on to Minneapolis and the Radisson Hotel for meeting with business and agricultural leaders.
Kathy Werzer put together that nice little summary of all the events that have transpired just about up to right now, where President Gorbachev is in the motorcade heading down Summit Avenue, and then soon to get on to John Ireland Boulevard around the Capitol area, and as Kathy said, zip on down I-94. Lauren Omoto is standing by at the Radisson Plaza area where President Gorbachev will have the meeting with business leaders. What's going on down there, Lauren?
Well, Bob, there's definitely a pickup in the activity down here. Things were kind of at a stasis there for a while, but now the security cordon is going up. You see a lot more security people, police and sheriff's deputies appearing on the street. They're carefully examining all the tops of the buildings down here. As you probably know, down on 7th Street in Minneapolis, a lot of very tall, sheer building faces, and they've been keeping a close eye on the tops of all those buildings. And here on 7th Street itself, periodically we've seen a limo or two pull up, a limousine or two, and several people in charcoal gray suits. It seems they all wear charcoal gray suits. get out and then move into the hotel. We are told, for example, that among the business people who are already on the scene down here, Jack Grundhofer of First Bank is here, we are told. Also, apparently, Whitney McMillan of Cargo is here. This is via the press office, we're told that. And also Lawrence Perlman of Control Data Corporation, mm-hmm. also said to be here.
Any sign of some of the others from out of state, such as Roger Smith or the head of, I think PepsiCo was going to be there and some others?
Haven't seen any of those folks yet, Bob, or at least we aren't told that we've been able to see any of those folks yet. We have, however, acquired a copy of the seating chart for this agribusiness meeting that's going to be going on shortly after 5 o'clock. Right. And interestingly enough, at least as far as I can see, Roger Smith is not on here. Lee Iacocca is not on here.
All right. I got to go to Gary now. Lauren, Gary Acton up at the state capitol where the motorcade is coming into view. Gary?
Yes, indeed they are, Bob. Coming around the corner up by the cathedral, a whole line of, of course, you folks have been talking about the motorcade all along, a line of flashing lights, a couple of buses apparently filled with the security people. And now from what, from this distance, looks to be like the real motorcade itself, all the official-looking cars.
Those great big Zills.
Is it Zills?
That's what we're told. It might be pronounced Zeal. What is it? Zeal. Evelyn tells us it's a Zeal.
It's a Zeal?
It's a Zeal. And there are only five of them made a year in the Soviet Union.
Hmm.
Patty told us that. There's only five made a year, and they are handmade. That makes them, of course, one of the rarest automobiles in the world. And there are probably as many in Minnesota today as are manufactured during an entire year in the Soviet Union.
This motorcade goes on forever. I tell you what I'm going to do, Bob. I'm up the steps, and if you'll bear with me here, I'm going to get down close to the road. So, in case anything interesting happens, why, maybe we'll get a little better idea of just exactly who's saying what to whom.
All right.
And,
how thick is the crowd right where you are, Gary?
Right where I am, there is no crowd. They're all clustered right along the edge of the street, hoping to actually get to meet Mr. Gorbachev, I suppose.
How are these folks dressed? Are most of them dressed fairly warmly, or?
Well, some, there are a lot of people out here in shorts, just as Karen was noting over at the mansion.
Uh-huh.
And
a lot of people dress for the calendar and not the day, I think.
Well, exactly. Exactly. I did talk to a number of people who were holding out until it stopped raining. And as soon as it stopped raining, then they decided to make their move.
Uh-huh. All right.
I've lost my vantage point a little bit in terms of the total motorcade, so you'll have to bear with me on that. But you'll recall we talked about the unofficial lottery earlier, Bob.
Oh, yes, the unofficial lottery which we can only give a few details.
As to where he might get out.
Yes.
So we're going to go right down to the front and take our chance.
I hear people cheering in the background there.
Yes, there's a lot of excitement, you know, after the what seemed to be kind of a blasé thing. People craning their necks, cameras high in the air, jumping in the air.
People definitely turning out despite the lousy weather. And
there goes a limo. If you can hear the people.
Oh yes.
Cheering
and clapping as the motorcade approaches there. Ten minutes before five. This is live coverage of President Gorbachev's trip to Minnesota.
The motorcade slowed down briefly. People were running frantically. We'll get back up close again and let you listen.
Those are impressive-looking vehicles, I must say.
I believe that's President Gorbachev waving out the window of the limo. People running frantically, Bob, across the, the poor hedges. The hedges at the Capitol are taking a beating.
Uh-oh. The groundskeeper is going to be angry tomorrow.
Oh, there's just mobs of people running through the hedges as fast as they can. The motorcade now heading up, back up John Ireland Boulevard. Question is whether or not they're going to get there before the mobs of people do. It's like a rock star, you know?
Well, it is amazing that that people will come out for a public official like this and treat him just as a big celebrity from the entertainment or the sports world.
It's like after your midday program, Bob.
Right.
Well, this is was really interesting. The people are just flying across the lawns as fast as they can, trying to keep up with the motorcade. We're too old to do that, of course.
Well, young Chris Roberts was getting a bit of a workout there earlier today along Summit Avenue. I just wonder if Gorbachev is going to get out of the vehicle at some point. He hasn't shown any inclination to do so yet, although he was certainly walking along Summit Avenue quite a ways there.
I think they're going to have to make another run around the Capitol if that's going to happen, unless he stops over in front of Sears in that direction. They have to go down that route to get it back onto 94, although it may be that they're running. How are they? Are they on schedule, their new schedule again?
Now, I would say that if they go right straight onto the freeway now, they're going to be about on schedule because they're supposed to be at the Radisson Plaza at about 5:15, and I would suspect at the speed they're traveling, that'll probably take them about 20 minutes.
Yeah, they were rolling along pretty good toward the end of the motorcade, trying to keep up.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what those big limos will do on the freeway. I suppose they could push them up to 65 or 70 if they wanted.
I certainly think so. Well, it doesn't appear, certainly not down at the Capitol, that he's not going to be getting out. He's not coming around for a second run. But genuine excitement. As you said, Bob, it's just amazing. It's a public official. It's not a big entertainer, sports celebrity. But then, of course, he is probably the most high-profile kind of superstar politician in our time.
That's right. Well, as far as I can tell from the pool video feed, the motorcade has begun to enter the Interstate 94 access area. Stephen Smith is standing by in the motorcade. Maybe we'll have a chance to get to him in just a second as our live broadcast continues. And there is Stephen at the motorcade. Hello, Stephen.
Hi there, Robert. We're proceeding now westbound on I-94. All of the lanes westbound from St. Paul, of course, just dumped out onto the highway from the Capitol. All the westbound lanes have been closed. Eastbound, the traffic is slowing down as this unusual procession of about 40 or 45 vehicles makes its way along the road. This is, of course, where many of those electronic signs have been set up by the State Department of Transportation, the flashing signs that say things like welcome in both English and Russian, and also Minnesota USSR partners in progress, those kinds of things. This is also the area, as you know, that has been well cleaned up, flowers planted, both for this and the Olympic festival that's coming up.
What speed would you say the motorcade is moving at, Stephen?
Well, right now I think we're probably doing about the speed limit. On the way from the airport to the governor's mansion, we peered over the driver's shoulder and noticed we were doing about 65 or maybe even 70 along the way at times.
They were lucky they didn't get pinched.
And what they've got going on in the eastbound lane is that there are traffic cones sealing off the lane closest to ours all the way along, and a state trooper car is driving along to make sure that nobody can sort of be close to the median. Mm-hmm. As we come up now along the Lexington Parkway entrance ramp, there are cars parked and people standing along the roadside and getting as far onto the bridge as security will allow them to wave and hold up their signs. But all along the motorcade route, the bridges themselves have been closed off so that no one can stand on a bridge overlooking the Soviet president's motorcade.
All right, let's go from Stephen Smith at the motorcade down to Chris Tetlin, who is standing by close to the Radisson Plaza Hotel, also by cellular phone. Chris?
Hi there, Bob. As I told you before, that the crowds are really thin in Minneapolis, and they were until about an hour ago. People were probably listening to the radio, waiting until the last possible minute, because there's quite a knot of folks within a couple of blocks either side of the hotel itself. Lots of protesters, lots of Baltic Republic flags, and the route goes all the way through downtown Minneapolis for many, many blocks, so people are spread out maybe one or two deep through a long stretch. I just walked many blocks around the route through downtown Minneapolis, and it's not until you get right around the hotel itself that there's a very thick crowd, and people are, for about half an hour, have been looking down the road, looking several blocks down. Word has not gotten out that Gorbachev is not here yet, there's a lot of expectation, as there has been all along the whole route.
Well, I should think you would begin to see those lead vehicles before too terribly long, because the motorcade is on Interstate 94 now and heading towards downtown Minneapolis.
We'll look for those MTC buses with the police.
All right, very good. Chris Tetlin, who is covering the area around the Radisson Plaza Hotel. Lauren Amoto standing by at the Radisson Plaza, where the business meeting will take place. And if we have an opportunity to bring you live coverage of the actual meeting itself, we certainly will do that. The schedule calls for President Gorbachev to arrive in downtown Minneapolis at about a quarter after five. He will have a rest period at the Radisson Plaza for a little while, for about a half an hour, according to the schedule. At 5:45, there'll be a meeting at the Radisson with national, regional, and state business and agricultural leaders. That meeting should last until about 7 o'clock, when the Gorbachevs will leave the Radisson, go to Control Data headquarters in Bloomington, en route to the international airport. It's our understanding that when they're at the Control Data headquarters, they will be viewing a computer exhibit, meeting with the president of Control Data and reading some of the employees who are probably gathered there. And then just before 8 o'clock, they'll leave Control Data, head over to the airport, get on their aeroplane, and head for San Francisco, the last stop on the Gorbachev trip to the United States. We have canceled on Minnesota Public Radio all of our regularly scheduled programming today. If you're just tuning in wondering what's going on, well, it's the Gorbachev trip to the Twin Cities, historical event that we thought was worth going out in force to cover. So we have cleared away the schedule so that we can bring you this live coverage that will continue right through the departure of the Gorbachev airplane. The time now about 2 minutes before 5 o'clock. Let's pause very briefly for station identification. We'll tell you that this is member-supported Minnesota Public Radio. This is KNOW, Minneapolis, St. Paul. 52 degrees in the Twin Cities at last report. The wind now dropping down to about 10 miles an hour.